How do you describe perfection? For a bowler, it's a 300 game. Gymnasts and skaters seek perfect tens, and a musician can, with perfect pitch, recreate a musical note without a reference tone. Five students at Fayetteville High School can claim perfection on the ACT. That's a score of 36. Last week, four of the five discussed the test with us. We were denied perfect attendance because Ryan Kim was taking another test during our scheduled interview time. Albert Hsu, who's finishing his junior year at FHS, says he studied for the very test that would yield his 36, but he says he can't really explain exactly how that studying corresponds to success.
Studying has to do with your intuition, so I feel like after doing a lot of practice tests, and I have a similar feeling for the SAT, after doing a lot of practice tests, I get a sort of feeling for how the test is. I don't know why, but I sort of end up doing better on the questions. I don't have a tangible idea of how, but I just feel that doing practice tests gives you a distinct advantage.
Albert says scoring 36 on the ACT was on his bucket list. Imagine that, crossing off a bucket list item at 16 or 17. The first time he took the test, he managed a 35. So he says he opted to take it again.
Tough decision because it's a rather hard test. And it takes a lot of time out of your schedule because you sort of stress about take it again. What if I do bad again on this one, and then I end up taking five more times.
Megan Olson, who scored a 36 the third time she took the ACT, says when you're scoring in the stratospheric levels of the test, 34, 35, 36, the actual individual test placed on the desk in front of you can matter.
When you get up into those upper numbers of the test, the 34, 35, 36, it really comes down to the individual test that you're taking, because it comes down to one or two questions could mean the difference between a 35 and a 36. And so that individual test that you take can actually have a lot of bearing as to what you get within that upper range.
Megan says the first time she took the test, she just wanted to see where she measured up and came up very close. So she decided to seek that perfect score. Kyle Zhang, like Megan, a junior, also took the test three times and says he wasn't quite satisfied with his initial 34 or the subsequent 35, so he went back one more time. Kyle says a part of that successful perfect score comes from a familiarity with what is going to be asked, not mind reading, but an ability to be at ease with the process inherent in the standardized test form.
Getting familiar with what the question is going to ask you, you have to be able to predict what the questions are before, you actually read the questions. And that really helps you with timing, because timing is one of the difficulties for many students taking the test, because, especially for reading and science, you get 35 minutes to do 40 questions, which, that's pretty difficult.
The perfect ACT score brings with it attention. Colleges certainly take note, and proud relatives can spread the word as much as they like. But Albert Hsu, who was wearing an MIT sweatshirt the day we talked, says everybody should just pump the brakes a bit. He's proud of his 36, but that number, or the number you scored, is a small percentage of what's involved in a person's potential or ability to learn. He says he was surprised when he found out some of his favorite teachers scored below a 36 or below 30 or 25.
Oh, I only got a 26 on the test, and I'm I think she could have done a lot better. I'm I didn't think they could have done that poorly. I think so I feel like the ACT is not a strong evaluation of a person's prospects in life, because there's definitely people I really admire. There are a lot of teachers I really admire, and they say, oh, I only got a 23 on the test. I'm wow, to me right now, that feels that's really low, but that doesn't really reflect them as a person, because they're really intelligent.
With a perfect score, there is not just attention, but expectation. Sophomore Emily Jackson still has two more years of high school, and she says she's hesitant to think beyond those immediate years and imagine what she might be doing, say, 10 years from now.
There's obviously things that you kind of want to happen within those 10 years. You want to do this and you want to do that. But at the same time, it can be those things that you never expected, never thought to see coming, that can be the coolest thing that would happen to you. And so I think it's kind of weird to think 10 years into the future. You have these ideas, but at the same time, there's no way you can predict what's going to happen. And part of that is just, it's so cool to look ahead and then be what could happen, and then look back and see, I never thought I would be here, and here I am.
Emily's perfect score peers are equally irresolute toward the future, not anxious to define what they may study. But they'll mention chemistry, computer science, journalism, opera, biology, psychology as subjects they'd like to know more about, if not specifically related to the eventual career paths they'll take. Albert Hsu says he just wants to keep learning.
I've also recently taken an interest in biology, And originally I thought like, oh, you know, I have to choose. Either am I going to do computer science or am I going to do biology? But in these past couple of years, there's been quite a strong development in the field of genomics and stuff like that, where computer science is being used to develop fields in biology and process the kind of like the stuff like the human genome, other genomes. So what this means is like there's an increasing number of connections in the modern world between these fields of study, so that no matter what I learn, I feel like it's going to be of some use to me.
First, before all that, is the summer. Megan and Kyle are headed to Arkansas Governor's School on the campus of Hendricks and Conway. Albert is headed to Germany for a foreign exchange trip and then to debate camp in Texas. And Emily Jackson says the summer between her sophomore and junior years of high school will be eventful as well.
When I was younger, summer seemed to be like this big, long stretch of time where nothing happened and you could just lie around and relax. But as I've gotten older, summer has become filled with a lot of different camps. And especially this summer, it's a lot of educational camps, which I think are going to be a lot of fun. And now summer isn't a time to relax. It's a time to experience things that you don't have time to do when you're in school.
Emily Jackson, Kyle Jang, Albert Hsu, and Megan Olson all achieved a perfect 36 on their ACT, and all are students at Fayetteville High School. Also scoring a 36 and a student at FHS, but unable to meet with us was Ryan Kim. The ACT, by the way, tests English, mathematics, reading, science, reasoning, and writing. And while it doesn't measure diplomacy, Megan Olson likely would score perfectly on that as well. This is how she reacted when I confessed my ACT score from many years ago.
That's above the national average, so.
Good answer. This is Ozarks at Large.